Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we take the story we studied in the Bible yesterday and try to understand it, understand how it changes our thinking around God and life. And we're exploring a really difficult story this week. Yesterday, I read you a story about Abraham, same man we studied the week before, who was commanded by God to take his son up to a mountain and to sacrifice him there. In fact, our story ended with Abraham having built an altar, laid some wood on the altar, and then laying his son over the altar and having his hand poised, ready, as the Bible said, to slaughter his son. It's a pretty awful image that we don't want to just gloss over and move on from too quickly. So that's why we left you to think a little bit about it yesterday, and to come back today to read the rest of the story where we start to find some hope. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Well, before we even read this story, I warned you that this was a test. In fact, the Bible warns us that this is a test. And Abraham passes the test. There was never any doubt that Isaac would live. The question was whether Abraham would pass the test. So God, at that moment, reiterates his covenant promise to Abraham. He reiterates that same promise to bless the world through Abraham's descendants and that there would be many descendants, like stars, like sand. He says that promise again. It seems like there was one way for Abraham to really break this covenant, if he held something back from God. If he loved and worshiped something in this world or himself more than God. And this test showed God that Abraham truly loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength, with everything that he had on earth, including his beloved son, who was a gift from God, his only son. If he was willing to give that son up for God, even though he didn't need to in the end, if he was willing, it showed God where Abraham's heart truly was. It was completely and wholly God's. So how is this good news? How's there hope here? In some ways, this story looks like, okay, God makes a promise to Abraham. It looks like he won't follow through. Then he does. He gives him the son that he's always wanted, that all the descendants are going to come from. And then God puts the poor guy through a test where it looks like he might lose that son at his own hand. And then God stops it all and reiterates the same promise. It's a bit of a strange story. You might be wondering, how does this story get us ahead? How does it advance anything if God just repeats the same covenant promise he already made? What's the point of this story? And the other question we need to explore that we're exploring in every week of this epic series is, where's Jesus in this story? What does it have to do with Jesus? Well, they're actually the same thing. In Jesus, we find hope. In this story. In this story, we learn a few things about God, his plan for the world, long before he actually executed that plan. First of all, we see the love of a father for a son. That's pretty clear in this story. The agony that Abraham would have gone through. And the fact that God acknowledges that, your only son, whom you love, God gets it. We learn later in the Bible that God the Father has a relationship with God the Son. We see in this story how difficult it would be for a father, a loving father, to see his own son die, much less at his own hands. Just how high the stakes would have to be for a father to do that. This is also going to be a way we learn about God and his love for us. Well, one clue as to where Jesus is in this story is in the way God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. In John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John makes a real point of describing Jesus as God's only son, who God sent into the world because he loved the world. Abraham loved God so much, he was willing to sacrifice his only beloved son. God so loves our world that he's willing to sacrifice his only beloved son. There's also a hint in how this, in this story, Isaac carried the wood on his back upon which he would become a burnt sacrifice. Later on in the Bible, in the New Testament, we find Jesus carrying the wood of his own cross up another hill where he'll be sacrificed. They both end up carrying this heavy burden upon which they'll be sacrificed. Just like Jesus carried the sins of the entire world on his back and died for us so we wouldn't have to carry that burden. Now, Isaac was being offered as a sacrifice, and sacrifices were something that that weren't uncommon. Abraham would have made other sacrifices of different animals and things like that as a way to, for one, show his complete and utter devotion to God, that he belonged wholly to God, but also as a way to try to pay the price for sin, for human rebellion against God. Technically, the price for sin was death. That's what we really owed, our death. But God allowed humans to make sacrifices of other living things as a substitute or a stand-in, to buy some time. To say, I know I owe you my life because of what we humans have done, but will you accept this instead? That's what was being foreshadowed in that moment when Isaac is saved, Abraham turns around and there is a ram. God has provided a sacrifice, a substitute. Isaac doesn't have to die. God provides a substitute instead. That's why centuries later, when we humans still had a price to pay for sin, and had still been sacrificing over and over again to buy time, God sent his one and only beloved son, and he didn't hold back his hand. He didn't hold back our hand, but allowed his son, Jesus, to be sacrificed, to die for our sins, to be the substitute, to be that ram that Abraham turned around and saw could stand in for his son Isaac. He wants us to look at Jesus and see a substitute who can stand in for us, who can die in our place to pay the price for sin. This is why John said about Jesus, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The New Testament writers clearly looked back at this story, and in it they saw Jesus as the substitute sacrifice, as the lamb, as the ram, standing in for us, who allows us to live. We also see inspiration for us to live with a wholehearted devotion to God, not because we'll be tested in the same way, but in thanksgiving for God having sent that substitute sacrifice, Jesus Christ. This is great news for all of us. If we feel that our rebellion against God, our distance from Him is just too great to be bridged, if we feel like we are just too broken, too messed up for a holy, good, perfect God to have anything to do with us, we see here His willingness to sacrifice Himself, His one and only beloved begotten Son, to stand in for us, to pay the price for that rebellion that we call sin. So, tomorrow we'll try to apply and live this out, but in the meantime, I've got a question for you to think about and hopefully discuss with some other people in your life. What did God learn about Abraham in this episode? Do you think there was another way that God could have accomplished the same plan? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.